Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am profoundly and deeply grateful that you chose to be with me on this 30th day of January 2021. We're going to be looking at is there good? Especially of late, people are questioning it. And I've talked a lot about the futility of thinking of our life with good in mind. But again, you know, people want to hear what they want to hear. They want to be hypnotized and mesmerized. They don't want to see into the facts and even the truth of life because, well, it just depresses them. We've become very weak people, and we don't take responsibility for ourselves and what we're all about. We don't even look at the whole idea of what the meaning of our life is. And we're only interested in this happy ever after mentality that affects us to such a large degree in the course of our lifetime. We miss the whole episode of this world and our lives because we're looking for only the good. And that is not what it's all about. No great master from Buddha to Lhasa to Jesus ever said that it should be all about good. There is none good but God, did Jesus say. And what did he mean by that? Well, there couldn't be anything other than goodness than that which is the universal love that lives within us all. And love is not an easy thing for the human mind to understand. In fact, it is my opinion that the human mind cannot understand it at all. Though it tries, though it wants to think that it can, it cannot. It just doesn't have the gravitas of it all. It doesn't have the basic substance, the basic comprehension. It has no realization. We live in a very small little box in our mind, and it's governed by our mental acuity, which we generated from our genetics and DNA, and our emotionality, which once again, we got from our genetics and DNA. So we like to believe that we have free choice in everything we do, and that anything and everything that we do is governed by the free choice we have to make good things happen. Well, we live in a world of impermanence, and I want you to understand that. Nothing in this world stays the same for very long. So the things that are eternal, immortal, perennial, those things live within us. And to bring them about, to bring about that love, that goodness, that kindness requires a great deal of mercy. Mercy goes against this world, the societies of this world, the cultures of this world, the politics of this world, which we are seeing. So, good. Well, let's get into it. The first question comes from Thomas in Oklahoma. He says, Greg, what is good? And then he goes into a litany of things about what he thinks is good. I am wondering about all of this. Can there be anything good? And then he goes into what his politics are and such. But I had to pick out the gems here. Good is relative to a person's perspective. Good to me might not be good to you. And that isn't that the whole fight of politics? Isn't that really what it's all about? How we live inside of ourselves for the sake of a good that we deem is the ultimate good for everyone, or at least good for ourselves. And what if the good for me isn't the good for you, Thomas? And what if the good for you isn't the good for me? Now what do we do? Okay? And anyone can see all of this in the course of a lifetime. There has been many good things that have happened at the expense of people who could not sustain, understand, or even afford that good. So you start to look at what is good. Anything that is relative to this world is suspect to perspective, genetics, DNA, and the whole idea of bias. So we live in a tremendous bias in this world because we live in a tremendous bias within ourselves that we have never conquered. We will never know in this world the great goodness that could be because of our emotional bias, our emotional prejudice, our anger, our fear, our self-hatred, our assumed idea of reality in this world. We have all of this going on, and people are not interested in understanding what it basically lives within them, Thomas, because they can't go there. Their mind won't go there. Their emotions won't go there. Their genetic impressions will not go there. So they won't go there. And to go there is to see all sorts of imperfections. It can become very confusing, complicated, convoluted. And this is why people are contrary to inner awakening, any kind of authentic spirituality. They just don't get it. They can't get it because they're stuck. So what is good? I agree with Jesus when he said there is none good but God. There is a lot said there, and it can be assumed in so many ways. You can assume you understand something based on your intellectual capacity, your abilities intellectually. You can assume what good is based on, maybe fantasies you may have or idealisms you may have. And you have to admit, I hope you can see this, that what was good, Thomas, for you in your childhood may not be the same kind of good that was good in your adolescence and your adulthood. So there is a lot of things to consider here. But when Jesus said there is none good but God, what he was basically saying in and of his time is, to fight and squabble about what is good is futile and ridiculous. The only goodness there is to come into the awareness that God is love. As he said later on in his life, God is love. So if you understand the state of love, if you can feel that state within you beyond your intellectual idealism or perceptions or pessimism or whatever it is that you live with, optimism, if you can go beyond your mind and have a direct experience that is beyond the concepts, precepts of the human mind and how it thinks, then you have something very unique, very special going on. And this is something that I find really beautiful in people. Some people can really go deeper and deeper and deeper into love. They can persevere beyond the ideals and ideas of what they think of as right and wrong, good and bad. The thing that limits us the most in this world is our bias, our human bias, and how we are petulant enough just to live in it and not really understand the limits that it imposes upon us based on the fact that it shapes and molds our ideas about who we are, what we are, the way we live. It would be good for you to examine how you live, Thomas. How do you live? What is your ideal of good? What is your idea of good? What is good? Those three things, just really look at them if you can. Really persevere. Don't give flippant answers. Don't look at it from the point of view of this is a useless exercise. Take a deep look at what you call good. I guarantee you, whatever that ideal is of what you think of as good, it will also bring about your issues, your problems. You're going to be in conflict with other people. You're going to be in conflict with yourself. And there's a lot of things that coincide with this. The conveniences we have. Now, let me just give you this real quick. A lot of people think that convenience is good. We don't have to milk a cow to get the milk. We don't have to get in a, or walk, shall we say, to our jobs. We can drive to our jobs. Well, the cow, the car, and you could go into 100 different scenarios on this. All of those things have backlashes, consequences to them. And if I don't understand the consequences that I have towards those things and how I work with those things and how I enact them in my life, I will only live for convenience. For the sake of convenience, I will bring about a backlash maybe of, we see it in our ecology. We see it in how we're heating up the planet. We see it in how we're destroying the earth. All for the sake of human convenience. So we would have to restructure our whole society if we were to really take it seriously about what is going on in the atmosphere of our ecology, the lack thereof and all of that. We would have to rearrange many, many things. There would be consequences for not eating meat or, you know, using cow milk. There would be consequences for walking to work or riding our bikes to work rather than driving. And we're not interested in paying the price of those consequences. We just want the conveniences. Well, all of that is our good. And for every good thing that we come up with here on Earth, we also have to deal with the consequences of that quote-unquote good thing. So it makes it very complicated, very, very complicated. So people keep looking for answers in the logical when the whole question demands no logic but insight. And the insight we don't want to see is how inconvenient it is to live our life the way we do. It's inconvenient to a lot of people. You can't live on this earth without affecting someone else. So then you have to ask yourself, is my good imposing pain and suffering bad, quote unquote, on someone else without me even knowing it? And that would be very true. So it's very complicated, isn't it? And I just barely scratched the surface there. So I say to you, goodness is relative to a person. And to me, goodness is mercy. So I'm going to talk about that in the next question. Thank you, Thomas, for your long email, which was very interesting, I want you to know. And I read it all, and thank you for taking the time to explain yourself. And please forgive me if I didn't do the same for you. Namaste. Okay, so here's the next question from April. She does not tell me where she lives. You say goodness follows mercy. How is that when there are so many bad people that need to be punished? Ooh, that is a very assumptuous statement. There are a lot of people who are nuttier than fruitcakes. I have students nuttier than fruitcakes. I have friends nuttier than fruitcakes. I have friends and family nuttier than fruitcakes. And they think I'm the nut. Everybody thinks I'm the crazy one. So I wear that mantle really well. So I don't have a problem with that. But the whole idea of that good is universal, and that you don't know what brings about good, which is mercy, is a very sad and dangerous thing, in my opinion. Very sad and dangerous. So let's talk a little bit about this thing called mercy. My goodness will be the, shall we say, the result, the consequence of the state of my mercy. Now, I've had, like anyone else in this world, people do heinous things to me, things that were unnecessary and were ignorant and were unfair. And by you would think the people that would know better, really know better, people like my colleagues and people I've helped, really helped. They have a great deal of difficulty with the idea that someone could be different than themselves. Everybody, and if you understand this, April, it will help you. What people don't understand and cannot understand due to genetics, they become contrary to. They become actually jealous and violent about because they didn't think of it, or they didn't do it, or they don't see how doing that, which would be out of the realm of their compassion, out of the realm of their generosity, that would be a good thing. Goodness is there because mercy developed it. Mercy must come first before there can be any kind of goodness in this life. Mercy is the art of forgiveness. Mercy is the art of compassion. It is the greatest generosity a person can have. And if a person doesn't have that generosity inside of them, they will miss everything that is most important about themselves and about their life. It is a very difficult thing for people to be generous. They always think in terms of me, me, me. The whole idea of the American system is that it's the freedom to do whatever I want to do. And that just isn't true. It is based on greed. It is based on anger. It is based on survival. It is not based in love. Therefore, what you are seeing in our country today and the way it is operating is out of greed, insecurity, fear. And this started many, many years ago when people interpreted the idea of the pursuit of happiness as being their right and that they deserve to do this even when they have no mercy. Mercy is the compassion to love one another as you would love yourself. To love and give to a person, your worst enemy, someone who you think betrayed you or hurt you, to be able to give to them compassion and mercy. And there always comes that time in people's lives where that mercy begins to become more and more predominant in a person's life. There will come a time, April, where you're going to need to forgive everyone that you think has ever hurt you. You're going to need to forgive that. And that kind of forgiveness is very difficult to accentuate and achieve because in that kind of forgiveness, you have to really look at your own value system. You have to look at the way you are, how you live in the way you are, what you believe you are. You have to look at the bigger picture. And every ounce of your genetics, every ounce of your fear, every ounce of your hatred, all of that will come to bear to tell you, no, don't do it. No, don't do it. Now, this is just the way it's going to be. It is a very difficult thing for people to achieve. That's why they won't do it, because the natural instinct is in our DNA. And our DNA, in essence, says, don't forgive that person. They were trying to take away your whatever and diminish you and blah, 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 embarrass you and whatever. So this kind of mentality is not healthy, but it is the mentality that most people have in their life and live in their livingness. So it is going to be very difficult to understand that kind of goodness. There is the goodness that comes from the world that makes our life more convenient and maybe people would think of as more gratifying. But then, my dear, there is a goodness that comes from mercy. The goodness of the world only lasts for a short time here on the planet. But the goodness that comes from mercy, from compassion, from forgiveness, is the mercy and the goodness of love. Real love. Love that you can take with you through death. And the only thing that is valuable in this world is what we can take with us through death. If you're not of that ilk, if you cannot understand that, if you refuse to understand that, then you will be stuck with circumstantial good, which doesn't last long, evaporates quickly, and is based in fear, hate, and greed. Take a look at it, dear. You make the choice every day of your life, every moment of your living. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question comes from Ryan. Are any of us good? With so much hate in the world, I don't think there are many people who are good. Ryan, everybody has good within them. Everybody. It doesn't live in the Ryan. It doesn't live as the Greg. It lives beyond the Ryan and the Greg. It lives deep, deep, deep into the authentic heart, in the soul. Most of us have not achieved a soul in this lifetime. People like to think you're inherently born with one. You're not. If there was ever a goal in this lifetime, it would be to achieve the soul, to awaken to it. But people are not interested in that. They are already very confused, almost demonic. So you can't really do that unless you were devoted to an authentic spiritual path, not a philosophy, a path. Unless every day was the day of forgiveness, every day was the day of a great generosity, every day was a life lived, well lived, in compassion and forgiveness. I stress this deeply because it is the only way in which a person awakens to the meaning of their own existence. So you have to decide how valuable your life is. If your life is valuable, then you will find the goodness in you. You will seek it above every accommodation of hate and fear and unforgiveness that lives within you as pride and vanity. If you can move beyond all of that into the nature of love within you, if love and the disciplines that bring about this great love are of interest to you, something you would be willing to do for the sake of just love itself, then you would have something really unique. You would have something definitely worthy of a meaningful life and finding significance in this lifetime. So it's up to you. I don't know who you are, Ryan, but I can tell you, all of us are made of love. And it lives in all of us. And the goodness, the remnants of that love live within us as the consequence of our compassion and mercy. So if you are willing of that, you're a very wise man indeed. Thank you for your question. Please forgive me. Namaste. Well, I have more tomorrow. And I think you might find tomorrow's program, if you found today's program interesting, you will certainly find tomorrow's very interesting. Have a beautiful day. I'll see you next time here on Aspire. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.